I just want to encourage us first from the preaching of the Word of God. May we be stirred in our hearts just how good our God is. Glad you're saved. Amen. And tonight, to that end, trust in God's goodness. Trust in God's goodness. And, you know, eventually we're going to end up in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 when we know those verses. But why don't we start first with how it all began back in the book of Genesis. So we'll see how God, you know, how things got started, right? And just how good God is. And then, of course, man tries to do something. And, of course, everything goes bad. But let's go to Genesis chapter 1. May this, you know, really strike home to our hearts how good God is. The only one that messes things up is myself, right? And so, trusting God's goodness. Genesis 1, of course, this is when God makes Adam. All the way back when, at the very beginning. And so let's go to verse 27. And notice what the Word of God here says. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Again, the emphasis tonight, how good God is. Okay, that's our takeaway. We'll see the testimony of Adam. And then, of course, applying it to ourselves. Why, oh, why will I ever doubt God? Or stop trusting Him? We don't have to. So let's go to Genesis 1, verse 27. The Bible says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. Woo! And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Wow. Skip down to verse 31 with me. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy to be in Thy house. Thank You, Father, for Your word. Thank You, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, that we've been bought with a price for His shed blood on Calvary's cross and by His resurrection, Lord, that we have eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. And a relationship, a living relationship with You, Father. And Lord, we just ask You to be glorified tonight. Lord, anoint these dips of clay. Help us, Lord, to be primed in our heart, Lord, to, Lord, as we get ready to pray, Lord, that we really praise You, Lord, and just praise You for who You are, Your goodness, Your unchanging goodness to us, Lord. And so, Father, we love You. Thank You for Your blessings to us. Help me to always count my blessings, to never lean onto my own understanding, Lord. And so, Lord, I love You. Thank You for saving my soul. Bless tonight, Lord, and glorify Yourself in all that is said and done in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a start. If you were Adam, if I was Adam, think about it this way. God made it good. In fact, God made it very good. And of course, when God gives the assessment, you know it's a true assessment, right? And so it's absolute truth. God blessed Adam. Look at verse 27, of course, God makes Adam. Then verse 28, and the first order of business, Adam's been made into this world, and God what? Blessed him. Right off the bat. I mean, that is amazing. Adam didn't even ask to be blessed. God sovereignly chose in His good pleasure to bless Adam. His the new hire, new recruit, first day on the job, you know, he comes to earth. God makes him, of course, and God blesses him. And then God gives him a charge, you know, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. And then look at all the blessings that God gives Adam and have dominion over the fish of the sea. All right. Water's covered. And over the fowl of the air. All right. Air's covered. And over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so that's everything. And Adam's like, what? No, Adam, you didn't do anything. I chose to bless you. I made you so that I can bless you. Now, this is huge. Okay, and then verse 31, and then, you know, stepping back, you know, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Adam was there, you know, his charge, his mission, it's all there. Everything is very good. And then, so Adam had it made, right? He's got it made. What a blessing. And then go to chapter 2 with me, verse 8. It kind of gets better still. chapter 2, verse 8. And so there's a little bit more detail about how that blessing rolls out. So verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. In verse 8, God made Adam. And then, of course, God makes the paradise garden of Eden. And God puts Adam there. Adam didn't need to ask or pray or beg to go there. God made a paradise. Always, you know, of course, it's destroyed by the flood. I get it, you know. But I always thought in my mind, you know, sometimes you see the artist, you know, rendition or impression of what Eden might look like, but nonetheless, it's a paradise, right? So it's a beautiful, lush paradise. It's probably beyond what I can imagine, but just a beautiful garden that God makes, and then on his own choosing, God puts Adam there. This is all God's doing. Adam didn't say a word. In fact, it's almost like, Adam, I'm going to bless you, whether you like it or not. You're going to be so blessed. Here you go. And then verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is what? Pleasant to the sight. I mean, there was nothing bad there. There was no, you know, twisted, you know, gnarly. I mean, everything is just beautiful, perfect, and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Wow. Doesn't get better than that, right? Everything is right there at Adam's reach. And then verse 15, skip down with me to verse 15. I know there's the four rivers there in between verses, but if we skip to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So, you know, Adam's not to be bored. You know, God gave him a purpose, again, the purpose is, and our fulfillment comes when we fulfill God's purpose for us. And think about it this way. Yes, he was to dress it and to keep the Garden of Eden, the lush paradise. Now, this is before the curse, okay? So it's not tedious, hard work. It's pleasant work. No weeds, okay? So he had a job to do, and God wanted him to do it, and it would be a joy for him to do that, to fulfill the purpose that God had given him. And look at verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. What a invitation. What a green light. God even gives Adam. Now, God is the one true, only creator God. But God in his sovereignty gives Adam liberty to freely eat or not eat of every tree. It was completely up to Adam. Okay, so think about it this way. If you're Adam, if I'm Adam, if you like green beans, you can have green beans 24/7. God's okay with that. If you hate peas, you never need to go to the peas. You know, God is okay with that. God's not going to say, hey, I want you to, you know, it's completely your call. I mean, God gave him that. You like pears? Hey, you can have pears all day. You like freshly squeezed orange juice? You know, I don't know how many oranges you got to squeeze. Some, you know, growing up, I always thought it was a waste because I would squeeze, use them all up, and I got half a cup, and that didn't quite fill. But if you want to have freshly squeezed orange juice, go for it. I mean, you can squeeze all the oranges you want, okay? You love, how about these oven-roasted Brussels sprouts? A little bit of olive oil. Love those, you know, and knock yourself out. I mean, he had free rein to do what he wanted. What a blessing. God gave him that choice. In fact, well, verse 17, of course, we know that's coming. Verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So the only thing that Adam couldn't eat was the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And even then, that was for his own good. But everything else was good. That's amazing. All Adam had was blessings. They're a blessing. Here a blessing, everywhere a blessing, right? If you go to verse 18, God's not done blessing him. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Of course, that's his wife Eve. And Adam did not request a wife. God blessed him with a wife. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed... verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam, oh, this is pretty awesome here, to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. God gave Adam free will. He gave him free will. Says, Adam, you can name the animals. We'll go with it. Your call. This is God who made everything. Gave Adam the blessing of dominion over sea, air, and land animals. And Adam, you're made in my image. Tell you what. You call them. You name them. That's like a father to a son. Son, this is my creation. You're my heir. Tell you what, son, why don't you name them? Horse, sounds good to me. Duck, okay. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, just think about the blessings and the privileges that Adam had. He had it all. And Adam gave names to all cattle and the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. So God knew that. He knew what Adam lacked. Adam didn't have to ask for it. And then look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. I mean, Adam didn't even have to be awake for this surgery, right? I mean, God is so gracious. He was going to bless Adam with a wife from his own self. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. That's amazing. God gives Adam a wife. Imagine going to sleep, and then when you wake up at your wedding, what? Here you go, son. Got you a wife. I share all this because if we haven't noticed yet, everything is God initiated. Adam was just there, just, oh, man, I'm going to get this. Oh, I got this here. Oh, this blessing now. Oh, now I got this. Oh, man, free will. Oh, I can eat what... Oh, I mean, he had all these blessings just piled up on him. God was the one that did it. Here, have this blessing, Adam. Have this. Oh, you know, here's a wife. Make it... And all this is God initiated. None of it was even inquired or even Adam couldn't even think of the blessings. God just gave it to him. That's awesome. Bottom line, God is so good to us. It's his own prerogative, his own will, his own initiative, his own sovereignty to bless us. Of course, Adam and Eve had all the blessings of paradise. All they had to do, of course, is to not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve had a precious, blessed, intimate relationship with God. That is amazing. But of course, every relationship is built on what? Trust. Every relationship is built on trust. And every day that Adam and Eve did not eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil demonstrated their trust to God, their belief in his word, and their faith in God's goodness. Every day that they didn't go there. Now, scripture doesn't tell us how long they abstained from eating the fruit, the forbidden fruit. Could be days, weeks, months, years. We don't really know, but sometime. But I like to play it out in my mind. Just one day to the next day to the next day, they have all the blessings from God. All the blessing from God. The tree is there, and of course, one day we know they eat of the tree, and that is when they doubt God. They were so blessed to live in paradise until they decided not to trust God for this one thing. It was a sad, sad day, and it brought a curse. So notice a pattern. With God, all they got were blessings. The one time man does the one thing that is outside of the perimeter that God said not to do, one time he gets cursed. Like, oh, that's bad odds. I mean, God was blessing after blessing after blessing. Adam goes, I think I'll try this on my own. Ah, cursed. Oops. You know, the one time he tried it. You know, and I hope it resonates with us. It's almost like the default factory settings of the Christian life is blessings from God. It's when I do it my own way, when I don't trust God on certain things, then I jinx it. I end up blowing it, end up, you know, cursing myself. But God, in the way that He intended it, rolls it out with blessings. With God, blessings. With man, cursings. Okay, easy for me to... Yes, Satan did tempt Adam and Eve. Yes, we get that. But ultimately, it's on man for yielding to that temptation. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. So this is where we want to go to. So that was kind of the intro. But because of all... See this pattern from the very beginning, and it hasn't changed. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. So therefore... Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Every part of my heart, all the time. Don't do it. Don't eat of that tree, that forbidden fruit. Don't do it. Just trust the Lord. Even if I can't see the end, even if it looks not like what I want, even if I get tempted by Satan and I'm thinking, oh, really? Maybe God's hiding a blessing from me. Don't do it. Just trust in the Lord. Trust is the foundation of any relationship. If we want a rock-solid relationship with God, we got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. Trust Him all the way. How can we do this? Well, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't lean on it. My own IQ or lack thereof, you know, my brain power, my own smarts, my intellect, don't lean on it. Don't trust in what I perceive. These are all my five senses. These are all of the flesh, okay? The words that we read, these are spirit, these are life. Trust in God's word. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, God. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. Not just acknowledge meaning, you know, I'm going down this way in life, and I go, hey, God, what's up? Not that kind of acknowledge. Acknowledge meaning you reverence Him. You trust Him. You obey Him as the God of your life. In all your ways, you acknowledge Him. You know, He's there. There's not one decision I make without praying and consulting God. There's not one path I go. There's not one thing I do that Lord, because I don't want to be like Adam. God gave me all blessings. The one thing I do, I messed up. I didn't think it was bad. and the rest of creation goes, way to go, Adam. Okay, I mean, I'm just saying, it's with God, it's all blessings. With man, it's cursings. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. And when we do that, when we don't know where to go, but you acknowledge God, He's right there. He loves us. He's faithful to the Lord. I'm going to trust You no matter what. And He shall direct thy path. It's a wonderful truth. We acknowledge God, He will direct our path. What a blessing. Besides, God's way is way better than mine every single time, right? Never go it alone. Always trust in God. Let's go to Genesis 39. Here's a real-life example. This is Old Testament Joseph. Very similar to Adam in this context. So let's go to Genesis 39. Genesis 39, of course, Adam could have every fruit in the garden but one. Here we have Joseph in Potiphar's house. Of course, he's been raised up a prosperous servant and now the head servant. And kind of like Adam in the Garden of Eden, Joseph could have anything he wanted. His master completely trusted him, except one, right? His master's wife. But let's go to Genesis 39, and we see the parallels here. Genesis 39, let's go to verse 1. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him at the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And so that's what we would say a bad day, right? That things are going bad. But look at verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. Praise God. God is with you, my friend. Even if you feel like you've been sold into slavery, God is with you. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And even if we might not be in Eden anymore, even if we are in Egypt, If you trust in the Lord, my friends, first of all, God is with you. Trust in him, and he will still prosper you, even though you're in Egypt, not Eden. And his masters saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house. Notice the sequence is important. Joseph submitted and served first. Then he got the liberty and the authority to be overseer, right? And so he didn't just, I'm not going to serve you till you give me the green light. No, he served first, then got the green light. And all that he had, he put into his hands. So he got promoted, right? So he's the chief servant. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. I mean, it was just off the charts. It got to the point where Potiphar was so prosperous, he didn't really need to know how much was in the bank. He just knows a lot. I mean, just, and he figured it out pretty early. Hey, the more I entrust to Joseph, the more I get blessed. Tell you what, I'm going to just give him everything. It's going to go all in. You know, what a blessing, right? Because Joseph, a picture of Christ, right? And so if we ever notice the little bit we give to the Lord multiplies it. And then all of a sudden, it clicks in our mind. Wait a minute. If I give 5 loaves and 2 fishes and the Lord multiplies it, Lord, I'm going to give you my whole pantry. Here it goes. Lord, I'm going to give you my whole heart. Yeah, whoa, what a blessing. Praise God. And so that's Potiphar. And so he got it. So verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat, because he trusted Joseph. He didn't need to know the details. I just trust him. All I know is it was $10 yesterday. Today it's $1,000. All right. he just did it. He just trusted Joseph. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And so what a blessing. And then of course verse 7 comes the temptation. This is Joseph's forbidden fruit. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused. Woohoo, what a blessing. And now, of course, he goes to trials anyway, okay? But the idea is his conscience was clear with God and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in his house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph still trusted God. Joseph still feared God. And he wasn't going to eat the forbidden fruit and sleep with Potiphar's wife, because he's not going to do that. He trusted God. His relationship with God was rock solid. And it came to pass, of course, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. My friends, when our trust in God is high, the storms may beat, the temptations may come day after day after day, but if we are trusting in the Lord with all our heart, leaning on not unto our own understanding, I'm so glad that Joseph didn't do that. I'm so glad he didn't, like, wait a minute, where's Potiphar? He's taking a trip. He'll be gone for 2 weeks. Oh, I can't actually do this and get away with it. You know, no, I'm glad he didn't reason it out. He just trusted in the Lord. In all his ways, he was prosperous now, but was he acknowledging the Lord? Absolutely. This, I'm here because of God, and God would direct my path. And so that, you know, he trusted the Lord. What a blessing. Now, this is not just a one-off incident that God is just blessing those that trust in him. This is a pattern of God's unchanging character of goodness. If you go to Jeremiah with me, Jeremiah 29, this, of course, is the Babylonian captivity of the nation of Israel. But even as a nation, God's people, notice how Jeremiah says it here. God says it through Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, let's go to verse 4. And God gives them a, guess what, blessing, even though they're going to go into captivity at Babylon. Notice what he says in verse 4, Jeremiah 29. Let's go to verse 4. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives." Again, no one likes to go to Babylon. They're hanging their heads down in shame, and, you know, they've been chastised because of their sin. They know that. But God still gives them a blessing because of his goodness. "Whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them when you're at Babylon, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. You're not going to be destitute. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. In other words, don't rebel against Babylon. Just be there and be content. Pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. And so when, you know, essentially when as Babylon is prospering, God is not going to leave them out. They're going to prosper too. That's amazing. And so we might feel like we're in our Egypt. God can still bless us like Joseph. We might feel like we are in our Babylon. God can bless us with his goodness just like Israel. That's amazing. Why? Because of God's goodness. Verse 10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That will be a blessing, okay? That will be a blessing. In Psalm 23, the psalmist says in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God's mercy, God's goodness. Now, it's when the psalmist says, when David follows the Lord, his shepherd, then goodness and mercy follows him. But may I be encouraged by the pattern, even from literally day six, right? Literally from day six, when God made Adam, God blessed him. Blessing of the blessing of the blessing of the blessing. The one time Adam thought, I think I'm going to try my own way here, that blew up in his face. May we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, amen? Lean not unto our own understanding. In all my ways, all our ways, acknowledge him. Do that first, and then he shall direct our path. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be here. Thank you for your truth, for your word, Lord, and that we can just trust you. That's how we have that rock-solid personal relationship with you, Father. Thank you for your word, and that, Lord, help me to just count my blessings, that you've already blessed me with so much. And so we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for our eternal life. Lord, we thank you for our inheritance in heaven. And even then, Lord, this side of glory, we thank you for the abundant life that you desire us to have. Help me to trust you in all circumstances. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And so, Father, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise.